I certainly feel His presence here at work in our midst. Amen. If you'd turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Amen. Revelation 21, verse 5. I know each week when we gather, there's folks in the middle of it, middle of a trial, difficulty. And I just want you to remember this, whatever God does for you this morning or whatever doesn't happen, remember this, we're on our way to a place that He has prepared for those that are faithful. Be faithful, you're going to come to that end. You're going to come to that conclusion in your life, the wonderful preparation of the Lord. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? I'm going to read one verse now and then keep your Bible open. As you can tell, we're nearing the end of our time in Revelation, and I want our hearts to be stirred. I'll tell you this, I believe there's a people getting ready to leave. I don't think you could find a person on the street, a non-church person, that would tell you this world's getting better and things are just looking really well. I don't think you'll find that. That's because man doesn't have answers or solutions. Amen. This world doesn't need a little patch job or a Band-Aid. This world needs redemption. Amen. God's going to redeem not only people, but He's going to redeem this world. Well, I'm already into the message, but let's look at verse 5. And He that sat upon the throne said, this is God speaking, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God says, I make all things new. Sin makes things old. Sin makes things wore out. Sin makes things ruined. Sin makes things wrecked. But our God makes all things new. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We shouldn't have to preach. Amen. We just ought to see it happen in the house. God making somebody new. I want to minister this morning on a new place for new people. A new place for new people. As we pray over this message, I want you, if you would, join me in praying for a personal need. My sister had serious open heart surgery on Wednesday, and she has not responded lucidly since that time, still not able to wake her up. And this is 4 days later. And if you just join me as we pray over this message, that God would touch her. Amen. And as far as I know, she needs the Lord as well. So let's pray together. Could you do that? Thank you, church, for your prayers. Father, thank you. Thank you that it's not a pointless exercise, but you hear us when we pray. God, I pray that you would move right now in that hospital room. God, I pray you'd lay your hand upon her and touch her and speak to her, Lord. Redeem her, rescue her, body and soul. Minister, Lord, help her, oh God, right now. Lord, help us as we preach, oh Lord, this morning. Talk to hearts, talk to lives. May there be a difference in our lives from having been in this service. Lord, shut up my heart in the truth and remove every distraction. Lord, every inhibition, Lord, remove those things. And may we hear from the everlasting word of the everlasting God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. A new place for a new people. I don't know if you've heard of the controversy yet, but the new administration is attempting to rebuild the embassies, the United States embassies across the world. And here's the main motivation in that. I don't know if you've seen some. I've seen a few, but our embassies built for security, they look like blockhouses. They're really just ugly. And so there's a new attempt right now. They're spending lots of our money to do it, to beautify the embassies, to make them look like architecture wonders and just pleasing aesthetically to the eye. The controversy is, well, now you're making them beautiful, but they're no longer safe. So it seems like we can't have it both ways with our embassy. We either have ugly blockhouses that are safe, or we have aesthetically pleasing structures, beautiful structures that aren't safe. But I want to tell you, we are headed to a place that is both beautiful and it's safe. Hallelujah. How many knows heaven's going to be a beautiful place? But I want to tell you, it's safe. There's not a terrorist that'll get through the gates. There's not a dark figure that'll get through the gates. Death won't get through the gates. Sorrow won't get through the gates. Pain won't get through the gates. Cancer won't get through the gates. Demons won't get through the... Oh, aren't you glad he's prepared a place that's beautiful and it's safe? Hallelujah. Oh, and I want to tell you, he may not original me, but if you're really saved this morning, you're already as secure as if you were already in that place with the gate locked behind you. That's the kind of redemption our God does. Hallelujah. God in this scripture is said to make everything new. And I'm going to preach from these verses that God makes new people and then he makes a new place for the new people. Hallelujah. Anybody here been made new? I said, anybody here been made new? You're new people, but God has made a new place for the new people. Some have just recently got saved. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. You become a new person. He's making a new place for you right now. Hallelujah. This week I got out one of my old Bibles. Well, the first ones my parents gave me to preach out of. And I was reading this chapter again from it, Revelation 21. And years ago I'd made an observation and written it in the margin. When I read, God said, I'll make all things new. And Brother Brock, what I'd written there, the new won't wear off. And the new won't wear. You get a new car, you get a new dress, you get a new device, electronic device, you get a new automobile, and it's not long till the new, it wears off. But brother, we've got a place prepared for us, and the new will never, ever wear off. How many's got a mind made up? You want to go to that place? Hallelujah. Let's look at the scripture. First, I want to emphasize from the Word of God, the old made new. The old made new. In verse 1, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I want to ask the question, new, what does that mean? What is the need for new? What was the old? And from Scripture we learn that when man sinned, he not only fell in sin and the consequences of sin and the ruin of sin, but the world man lived in fell with him. This world is messed up along with man. And it's sinned. It's old. How is it old? This earth has been scarred by sin. Look around. Can you see the scars? It's old. This earth has been scarred by sin. Have you seen photos lately of the blight in Detroit? How many seen that? They're trying to do something with that. Have you seen the photos when a tornado has left a devastated city? I'm talking about what's old. Have you seen this earth? Amen. When a beautiful hillside has been stripped mine and the trees are gone and there's the ugly gray scars. Amen. This world, it is scarred. It is old. Not only this earth, but the people in it. They are scarred. They are ruined. But he says here, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. What does that mean? When God gets through this earth in its heaven, heavens will be so renewed, so renovated, they're going to appear as if they had just been newly created. Hallelujah. Sin is ruined, but God is going to make it new. I'm going to tell you, see, I wondered how the garden looked like before sin entered in. I wonder how that place looked like. You're going to know, because he's going to return this world back to its brand newly created state. Hallelujah. A new heaven and a new earth. We will see the world as it was before sin and man got a hold of it. We're going to see the world as God originally created. Oh, I want to be a part of that, don't you? You may want that, but the world wants that. Paul said in Romans 8, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, But we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, till we have the redemption of our body. Sometimes we have a limited view of salvation and redemption. We think it just happens on that day we get saved and God redeems us in that He takes away our record of sin. But I want to tell you, redemption goes beyond that. In fact, it goes beyond the spirit of man. He wants to redeem our spirit. That's where it starts. He wants to redeem our mind. He wants to redeem our emotions. One day He'll even redeem these bodies. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'll get way ahead of myself, but He's going to redeem these bodies. But not only that, Brother Rose, He's going to redeem our environment. That's Christ. He'll rule till every enemy is His footstool. He'll rule till everything is brought under His power. He will rule until He has redeemed everything of heaven and of earth. John said, if we go back to verse 1, he said, the heaven and earth will pass away. Peter describes how this will happen in 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we know that's going to happen, but nevertheless, we according to His promise, what are we looking for? What are we looking for, church? We look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Fire's going to get a hold of this earth. It's going to burn up everything that's old and ugly and filthy and wicked and dark and sinful. Amen. And as the black spiritual said, what are you going to do when this earth is on fire? I know what the Redeemer's going to do. He's looking for a new heaven and a new earth when this heaven and earth passes away. That pass away doesn't mean into oblivion. This world globe will still be here. Pass away means the oldness is gone. The damage is gone. The scars are gone. The groanings are gone. God started man off in a brand new heaven and earth. Man with the sin spoiled, ruined, and wrecked that. But God has remade man. Hallelujah. Anybody here been remade? I said God has remade some people. And I'll tell you what He's going to do. He's going to remake this earth for the remade people. Oh, I like that. I hadn't thought of that. Even if you're born again, you've been remade. Not a makeover, a remade over. Hallelujah. You're brand new. The heaven and earth will pass away. We must consider that God will do for this heaven and earth what He does for us. Michael's already read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Do you see the connection here? Old things are passed away. And now the Revelator said heaven and earth are passed away. Oh, I want to tell you what He's done for us. Has He done that for anybody? Can anyone lift a hand and say, the old life passed away, the old way of living, the old fears, the old darkness? I'm telling you, if the old passed away in your life, He's going to do the same thing for planet Earth. Oh, hallelujah. I wish we'd get a hold of this morning. I said, He's making a new place for new people. Hallelujah. And this morning we sit here, new people, under a new covenant, with new hearts, and one day we'll live in a new world. And then in verse 1 it says, I saw a new heaven and earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I thought about that. Even John, I think, was struck by it. He sees the renovated earth. And when he looks at it like a satellite would look at from space, he notices something. And by the way, that's one of the first things you see from an orbital view of the earth. You notice the oceans. Brother Vint, when John saw the new earth, no more sea. What's that all about? What does that mean, no more sea? Well, you know, you heard and you studied in geology class. Did you know our seas cover 3/4 of the earth? That's a lot, only a quarter land. And some believe that John saw no more sea because God is going to make all the earth inhabitable. Right now, only a fourth of it is inhabitable. But one day, God's going to make it all inhabitable. And that may be. But I want to look at Scripture and try to answer the question, why no more sea? Well, first of all, in chapter 13, what did we read? That beast, that Antichrist that'll kill believers in God, that one that'll take control of this world, that one anointed of Satan, that Antichrist, where does he come from? Comes out of the sea. But Brother Heath, no more sea. Nothing more evil be coming, because there's no sea for it to come out of. No more sea. Aren't you glad there's coming a day there'll be no more source of evil? No more evil things coming at us, the sea. Also in Scripture, you can read it just in Jude and in other places. The sea typifies the coming in and going out of the waves and the foaming. It typifies the restlessness of wicked men. And as the sea vomits up, as you would, or pushes up mud and debris and trash, evil men in Scripture are seen as seas that are continually bringing to the forefront evil in our world. There'll be no more sea. There'll be no more wicked and evil men that live here. In Scripture, the sea are the depths that people perish in, but nobody's ever going to perish again. The sea symbolizes that which is ever changing and unreliable. Amen. The sea is the place of storms. But John said, there is no more sea. That ought to shout to us in the new earth, there'll be no more storms. Hallelujah. Does that appeal to anybody? No more storms. There'll be no more sea. The sea is a separator, more so in our history than it is right now. But used to, if you were separated from by the continents, by the sea, there'd be no reunion. But I want you to know, there'll be no more sea, because there'll be no more separation. Hallelujah. There'll be no more sea. Why? That sea is not only the separator, but it's a place where you can never live. I tell you, there's only one thing about the sea. You don't live on it. You cross over it. And I'll tell you, there's no more sea. Why? We've already crossed over. We've already made it. We've already come into port. The ship of Zion has made it across. There's no more sea to cross. We'll be home. Can you say with John, there'll be no more sea? And then I want us to notice from the passage, the new is joined with the new. And I want to beseech you to think with me on this. Verse 2, and John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Now you got to get this. Verse 1 said there's a new heaven and a new earth. Now it says the New Jerusalem comes from God, comes down to the new earth. I want you to know, there's a new city, New Jerusalem. He'll make a new earth, and God will join them. He's going to bring them together. You know, there's a mistake that we make in our thinking. We all tend to do this. But when we think of heaven, we view all of heaven as just that one city that we read about. But let's be clear. This New Jerusalem isn't all of heaven, because it came down out of heaven. And it's not all of heaven, because it comes down to a new earth. God is going to take the new and join it with the new. And that's exciting, because he's got the New Jerusalem and he's got the new heaven, and he joins it to the new earth, but he's not done. And he puts new people as the inhabitants of that place. Are you glad to be born again? Oh, the best thing I ever did do was take off the old robe and put on the new. That's what salvation's all about. It's making new. That's why I unashamedly and unequivocally the word just left me, but I don't waver. I want to tell you, when I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ will not leave you in the same place with the same lifestyle that it found you. When you really come to know the Lord, there's only one way to describe it. I've begun to live a new life because I'm a new person. And now that I'm a new person, I'm going to a new place. He's prepared. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The new is joined to the new. Amen. That's what God is going to do. I want you to notice that it comes down from God out of heaven. Made me think of what James said. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Where did the new Jerusalem come from? It came down from God. People are looking in all the wrong places. They look out in this world. What you need will never come from that source. You'll never find peace. You'll never find help. You'll never find hope. You'll never find salvation out there. You'll never find purpose. It don't come from the world. I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from God out of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. I felt a little bit of heaven come down in the service this morning, didn't you? I'm just telling you, what you need comes from heaven. And if you'll get what you need from heaven, your future home will come from heaven too. Your destiny of eternity, it'll come from heaven. Amen. We don't need in the church anything that comes from this world. We need what comes from heaven. And I want you to notice in this verse, the main description of the new Jerusalem is that it is holy. It is holy. I, John, saw the holy city. It's a holy place. I preach, amen, without reservation, that heaven is a holy place for holy people. I didn't say religious people. I didn't say self-righteous people. But heaven is a holy place for holy people. I am disturbed. I go to funerals today, and the family and the friends, and everybody knows that was a scoundrel. And the preacher will get up and preach him right into heaven. Amen. Listen, I'm not trying to be crude or rude or anything, but that preacher is doing nobody a favor. He's deceiving him. If I read the book, heaven is a holy place for holy people. Not in my own righteousness, but if I let God make me new, he'll make me holy too. Hallelujah. If I can believe he'll prepare a place for me, I can believe he'll prepare me for that place. Glory to God. The bride, it says, adorned for her husband. In the latter part of the chapter, we'll deal more with this. But I want you to know that even today, we often personify cities in the feminine. We talk about the city and she this and she that. And here the new Jerusalem is referred to as a bride adorned for her husband. I want you to know there's nothing as beautiful as a bride with her glowing countenance and all her finery prepared, made beautiful for her wedding. And here John said, that's the way I saw heaven. It's as a bride. In other words, nothing will be as beautiful as seeing heaven. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've had the experience, especially out west, traveling at night through the darkness, over the mountains, over the ridges. I'm thinking of Denver when I'm sharing this, coming from the west, and suddenly you top a ridge and look down, and there's the lights of the city. Amen. You could think of Pittsburgh, different places. I want to tell you, even in the old sinful world, that's a beautiful sight. But we haven't seen anything like it's going to be when we've topped the last rise, climbed the last hill, and looked ahead, and there's a new Jerusalem adorned as a bride. It's going to be a beautiful place. How many believes that child song, heaven is a beautiful place? Hallelujah. That's how he described it. And then look in verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now get this. The new city comes down and joins the new earth. And the description of that is the tabernacle of God is with men and he will dwell with them. God has tried to get this message across all through scripture. He started with those Israelites out in the desert, had them build that tabernacle, put up that tent. And the Bible says when they got it put together, the pillar of the cloud of God's glory came and rested upon the back part of that tent, went right through the coverings of that tent, and the glory of God inhabited the throne seat, the Ark of the Covenant, between the wings of the cherubim and the holiest of holies. You could be anywhere in that camp, and your tent was pitched with the door towards the center, and anywhere you were in the camp of Israel, you could look out and see the glory of God and know that God dwelt amongst his people. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. I want to share this. I'll go on. But the Greek word skene, which means tent, this will be important in a moment, and the Hebrew word shekinah, which means glory, are words that fit together, glove in hand. They are related words. Why? Because in the mind of those people that knew God's word inspired of the Spirit, the tent, the tabernacle where God dwelt, was where his glory was seen. Hallelujah. Not only the tabernacle, Solomon built that temple. When he got it built, the glory, the Shekinah fell and filled that place. And every priest and every person of God knew that God dwelt within that temple. Amen. Hundreds of years later, a Nazarene carpenter walked through Jerusalem, and wherever he walked, they could see the same pillar of cloud upon him. And wherever he walked, they knew that God was among them, and the Word was made flesh and tabernacled amongst us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Emmanuel, God with us. This time God's glory wasn't in skin tents. It wasn't in the stone walls of Solomon's temple. But this time the glory of God was in the man and the person of Jesus Christ. And it could be said God was amongst his people. But I want to tell you right now, you say we don't have that. Yes, we do. We are the church of God. And he said wherever there is the church of God, my spirit will fill that temple. I want to tell you, just as certainly as God's glory was over the tabernacle, in the temple, and in Jesus Christ, God's glory is amongst us this morning. Oh, that I was 30 and could just preach this. I'm going to tell you, but it's not over. But one day that new Jerusalem's going to come down, and it's going to be evident, physically manifested, that God is in the midst of his people. Every day you'll look and you'll see the glory of God. You'll see the throne of God. Oh, but the important thing is God dwells amongst his people. It's a changing thing. But once it was assumed that all the people that lived in a house were family, that changed. That has changed. But it's still a reality. And I want to tell you, when God dwells amongst us, it's making the statement, we're all family. Family. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all children. Are you looking for the day when God, oh, amen. Some may, I don't, but some may be content, amen, to have evil live among you. Some of your neighborhoods, you live in the midst of evil. Your neighbors are evil. Sin is on every hand. But I'm telling you, won't it be wonderful when every neighbor is born again? Every neighbor is a holy person. No crime, no sin. Hallelujah. I'm way ahead, but I just tell you, won't you be glad when God dwells in the midst of his people? And then Ezekiel, seeing this, he said, describing the new Jerusalem, he said it's around 18,000 measures. Listen to this. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is theirs. Oh, hallelujah. We call it heaven. We call it New Jerusalem. But Brother Keith, Ezekiel said, the name is the Lord is there. Oh, anybody want to go to heaven? And then I want you to notice the old that will not be in the new. Look in verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In the new place, there won't be these old things. Isaiah put it this way, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Heaven is such a tremendous place. It's easier to describe it in terms of what won't be there than it is to describe it in terms of what will be there. And John begins to describe heaven in terms of the old things that won't be there. Nothing of the old life, nothing of the old world will be allowed into that place called heaven, that new Jerusalem. All those effects of sin, the judgment of sin, the scars of sin won't be allowed in heaven. Anyone shout hallelujah? Amen. Let me put it this way, with no sin in heaven, there'll be no effects of sin. One of the first things John notices is God shall wipe away all tears from their eye. I want you to think of how intimate and tender that is. That's a tender thing. You ever seen somebody wipe away the tears of a child? That's like a mother kindly and tenderly wiping away a child's tears. I've seen people weep and somebody tenderly would wipe away their tears. Very intimate, very tender. Amen. We get immediately caught up and there'll be nothing to cry about, and we miss the point. If God is wiping away our tears, that shows us how intimate, it shows us how tender God is with his people. And I want to tell you something, somebody here, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven this morning. That God who is intimate and tender, he can come and dry your tears, wipe them away. He didn't make them not cry. He just wiped them away as they were crying. Amen. He's tender. He's intimate. No tears there. And then a thing that he says there shall be no more death. Why? Death comes from the curse of sin. Amen. Sin changed the world. Animals, plants, and people begin to die. But it's a transformed world. It's a new world. And the curse of sin has been removed. No more death. Amen. You got to understand this. I'm speaking as a man and not as a pastor with pastoral duty. But I've said to my wife many times lately, I am so tired of people dying. Amen. I'm just so weary of people dying. I believe our hope. I believe in heaven. Amen. But when you see the hurt that comes into families, and you see the loss, and you get up to preach, and you sense the loss of this saint and that saint no longer amongst us, and you see this spouse sitting alone and that spouse, amen, brother, I'm weary, I'm tired of death. But the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, and death shall be swallowed up in victory. And when we enter the gates of that city, no more death. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody else say it. No more death. Hallelujah. Oh, what a day that'll be. You've been here very long. You know that every year at Christmas, Roger's Funeral Home, amen, delivers boxes of calendars. Oh, there's no Roger Funeral Home calendar in heaven. No offense, Kevin. Amen. There's no Roger's Funeral Home there. There's no tombstone there. There's no cemetery there. Hallelujah. The people of God never have a memorial service. Why? There's no more death in the new earth. The curse of sin has been removed. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to finish the list. But I got to thinking, no more funerals, no more flu, earaches, or pneumonia. No more cancer, ingrown toenails. Amen. No more bills. I'm not talking talking about that bill. I'm talking about the kind you get in the mail. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout it? No more bills. Because the biggest bill's already been canceled. He paid a debt he did not owe. Let's have church while we're in church. I said no more bills. No more financial difficulty. No more taxes. Woo! No more taxes. No more war. No more child abuse. No more broken homes. No more broken marriages. No more tornadoes. No more hurricanes. No more earthquakes. No more mosquitoes. No more ticks. No more bed bugs. And we don't have them. No more car trouble. No more car wrecks. No more stopped up plumbing. No more thievery. No more rape. No more murder. No more sin. No more devil. No more demon. No more darkness. Hallelujah. 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 Think of heaven in terms of what won't be there. Verse 5. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Write. Why do you have John write down? So on this Sunday morning, I've done forgot since I started preaching, June 3rd, 2014. We could understand these things. These aren't just new or good sounding words. These are not just the stuff of dreams and fantasies and legends. These words are true, Brother Richie, and they're faithful. He will make a new place for new people. And then we're almost done, but look what he does here. He talks about the new people who will inhabit the new place. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Our new brother here, he's got a business called Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Did anyone catch that, how this verse started? Did anyone catch that? What's the first thing he said? It is done. Is that ringing a bell? Is that ringing a bell? In the original, same root. On the cross, he said, it is finished. When he said at that time, he began to make new people. Now he says, it is finished. It's all over. Every wicked has been judged. Every righteous has been rewarded. Every Satan and his imps have been cast into the lake of fire. Time is no more. And we're entering into eternity in his presence. It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega. I won't re-preach that. Those are letters of the Greek alphabet, the first and the last. He was here before there was an earth. And he'll be here when everything as we know it ends. He's the bookends of all human history. He is the A to Z. And he's everything in between. Remember, God is sovereign. Antichrist comes, goes out. False prophet comes, goes out. Kingdoms of men come and go. But in the end, he still exists. Hallelujah. Say it with me if you know it. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, I like to preach here. I don't have time. Who are the new that go into the new place? Amen. He tells us in verse 6, he that is athirst, let him come to the fountain of life. Let me tell you, I'm going to make this simple for the sake of time. I'll tell you who's going to be in heaven. It's everyone who has answered that invitation to come, whosoever will, and drink of the water of life. Have you drunk of the water of life? I'm glad it uses the word fountain, because fountain means there's an abundance. And if you're here and you're lost this morning, I want you to know salvation is open to everyone, and there's enough to quench your soul. The new are not just those who have drunk of the water of life, but verse 7, they are those who have overcome. He that hath overcome, or he that overcometh, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. It's for the overcomer. Listen, I am not minimizing what people go through. Contrary to popular belief, preachers go through things too. I'm human. I know there's some tough battles, tough things to go through. What is wearisome is when people who have drank from the fountain of life, they have known salvation, they've heard the truth, when they face a little difficulty, they give up, they quit, they throw in the towel. I'm not minimizing, hear me, I'm not minimizing what you're going through. I tell you, there's no place for quitting, and there's no place giving up, because the promise is to the overcomer. Two chapters were spent, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, to get the point across. It's a he that overcometh, he'll give the tree of life. He that overcometh will get a new name. He that overcometh will rule the cross. I know you may be facing it, but I'm telling you, listen to what Paul said. Through him, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us, you cannot overcome. Nothing has to stop you, and the promise is to the over. Who's going to be in that new place? It's people who have overcome. If there was never anything to go through, there'd be nothing to overcome. But we shall overcome. Hear me this morning across the building. No one will make it to heaven by accident. No one will make it to heaven if heaven's not the first thing on their bucket list. Amen. Well, I thought that'd be modern, somebody be impacted by that. It's got to be first in our life. And then, last of all, those of the old life will be banned from the new. I'm not going to preach but just seconds from this, but I want to read it. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, it sounds like I'm reading a description of a television show, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's a lot of preach to preach here, but what I want you to consider something, we usually think of people of the world, but in the context, these are people. Could you go back to the verse right before that? These are people, thank you. These are people who were supposed to be the people of God. How are they fearful? It's not just because someone has a phobia. We go through struggles, and different people have different phobias and things they got to wrestle with, and I know God's not given us a spirit of fear, but that's not what it means here. When he said the fearful should not enter that place, he's talking about those who are supposed to be the people of God. But when the Antichrist came and said, you receive my mark or I'm going to kill you, they caved. They were fearful of what people thought. They were fearful of the persecution. They were fearful of what this world said. So concerned about, they were fearful. Unbelievers, these aren't rank sinners. These are people who had been the people of God, but in the moment of pressure, they quit believing God. They quit trusting God. The abominable, and go down to whoremongers. Those are those who practice sexual deviant things. You say, those are got to be folks of the world. Make no mistakes. I'm not going to bore you with it right now, but the statistics show that within the church, sexual sins are almost as high statistically as they are in this world. These are folks that are supposed to be the people of God. The murderers are those that betrayed them and killed them. Idolaters, those that put anything other than God first in their life. Sorcerers, those, listen to me, sorcerers will never enter to heaven. Those are any of those that believe in, trust in, turn to any supernatural power other than the power of God through Christ. There's a lot of that. It's being touted. You can call it what you will. You can call it just a good time kid story. All the sorcery and all that supernatural power that's of the enemy. But the Bible says that'll have no place in that new city. Amen. And all liars, even deceivers, amen, they deceived and they're deceiving. Go to the next one. This is just a modern rendition of this. But for the rest, the feckless, the faithless, the degenerates and murderers and sex peddlers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, for them it's a lake of fire and brimstone in the second death. I don't want to be in that number. I want to be amongst those of a new life. Amen. You say that lake of fire, I won't be there. And you're lying right now when you say it. How do I know you're lying? Because you say, I'm okay. Everything's all right with me. Nothing wrong. Amen. I'm going to make it. No, you're lying already. I'm telling you, the best way to be ready to be a new person for the new is just to quit the lying, quit being deceived, listen to the word of God, and just be honest and say, I need help this morning. I need to be saved. I need my life changed. I need to become a new person. That'll get you into heaven. But if you sit there and deceive yourself and say, I don't need to hear that. I don't need that experience. You fall in that group of liars. Oh, you say, I'll go down the road. They don't believe in hell. And that's the sad thing. People are being deceived and going to a hell they don't even believe in. But as certainly as there is a heaven, there is a hell. And if there's no hell, heaven means nothing. Oh, but I won't leave you there, because I want to tell you one more time, if you'll let him this morning, he'll make you a new person on your way to a new place. Would you come, music? I want God to save somebody in this house this morning. You know, hear me, you know you need a new life, and only God can give it. You can't make a fresh start on your own. You need God to give you a new life. I want to share this just to make a point as we close. Many years ago now, I was preaching. Somebody's getting old for me to keep saying it many years ago. Before I got up to preach, we'd had a prolonged service. God was moving, people worshiping. And then we had a long stretch in there. You know, nothing really was happening, just businessmen taking care of, so to speak. And I looked out and I could tell people getting tired. How many like me to show you some faces I see sometimes? I'm joking. I could tell people getting tired. So I got carnal. I thought, you know what? It looks like to me it's gotten so late, people are ready to go home. And so I was looking for some kind of boost, you know, before I got up to preach. Like, oh, no, Pastor, go ahead and preach, you know. So I got up. I said, let me see here. I said, how many are ready to go home? And I just kind of, my jaw dropped because almost everybody lifted their hand. I thought, man, I said, I know it's getting late, but are you really wanting to go to the house that soon? I found out I was a carnal one because somebody yelled out, oh, Pastor, we thought you meant to heaven. But the story doesn't change my question. Are you ready to go home? Are you a new person on your way to the new place? Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to get involved in this altar call. Would you do that? Would you lift your hearts and hands and say, Holy Ghost, get involved in this altar call. Holy Spirit, get involved in this altar call. Oh, God. Go ahead, keep praying. Here it is right here. Listen to me across the building. You're tired of the old life. You're tired of the old sins. You're tired of the old way of living. You're tired of the old thoughts. You're tired of the old struggles. You're tired of that old living that destroys you. And you want to be made new this morning. If you're here and you want Christ to make you a new person with a new life, a new beginning, a new person, I want you to come right now. We use these steps as our altar. And I promise you, if you will come, there'll be folks here to pray with you. Amen. We've all made that journey in some way, saying, God, I'm tired of the old. I want the new. Is anyone here you want the new? Amen. God bless you. Are there others? I'm telling you, it's truth. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins, he'll make you a new person. You can just kneel right here. Amen. Can we have folks come help us pray? Are there others you want to be made new? Call on his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Just call on his name. Confess to him, Lord, I'm tired of my old life. I'm tired of the old sins. I'm tired of the deception, the lies, the bondages, the fears, the struggles. Lord, I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sin. You died that I could have life. Hallelujah. So thankful that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Lord, you love us. You're intimately acquainted with our lives. You know all about us. And you loved us. You gave us your love when we were yet sinners. You died that we could have life, that we could be rescued, that we could be set free from sin. And Satan, the enemy, the dark powers, take captive and they ruin and they destroy. But Lord, you have come to set the captive free. You have come to bind up the brokenhearted. You've come to set at liberty them that are bruised. Hallelujah. Are there others you'd like to come and join these this morning? You say, I need a new life. I need a new life. Hallelujah. As these continue to pray, amen. I want to talk to the rest of you. Maybe you're a new person in Christ, but you say, I need a new vision of the new place I'm headed for. I need a new vision of the new place I'm headed for. I want God to make it real. Would you join these in the altars all over the building? Would you come, church, and just say, I never want to lose sight of that destination. We can have more praying with these around the altar, even that are praying to God. Hallelujah. Whatever your need is this morning, don't let the enemy deceive you into thinking you can't make it, you can't overcome. He's the God that helps. He's a God that empowers. He's a God that gives a fresh touch. He's a God that cares about every need, every tear, every problem, every burden. Amen. Just say, God, whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, I will be an overcomer. By the grace of God, I'm going through. By the grace of God, I'll be an overcomer. Nothing's going to turn me around. Nothing's going to stop me. Hallelujah. Come on, let's seek him. Saints, pray with these. Call on the name of the Lord together. Hallelujah. Oh, for your mercy, Lord. Oh, for your mercy, Lord. Oh, that you take us, Lord, as we come to you. You take us as we come to you. Hallelujah. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on the Lord. I'm tired of the old life. I'm tired of the old life. I'm tired of the old life. God move by your spirit. God move by your spirit. Open up your heart. Let Jesus come in. Open up. All things are new. He's making new folks for a new place. He'll make you new. If any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things.
No tears, no more pain. Heaven, no sting of death again. Life is forever. All things are new. Heaven prepared for me and you.
Oh, he'll write a new name down in glory. He'll put a new name in the book of life.
Heaven built for me and you, where eternity rolls, the washed sing hallelujah to the Lamb who saved us from sin. Oh,
keep seeking him all over the congregation. God's doing a work of redemption. God's making new.
Heaven,
God's making new.
No sting of death again. Life is forever. All things are new. Wanna go heaven. Prepared for me and you. Heaven. All things are made new. Wash, sing hallelujah to the Lamb who saved us from sin. Heaven, no tears, no more pain. Heaven, no sting of death again. Life is forever. All things are new. Eternity rolls, the washed sing hallelujah to